Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle.
Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing. Online marketing. Social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. We're at that time of year where it's time to look ahead. So instead of saying hindsight is 2020, I'm saying foresight is 2020. We need to look ahead and plan how we can make this the best year ever. So I'm grabbing some of my favorite expert friends and bringing them in to talk to you about what you need to think about to get ready for next year. Today's guest is a superstar. His name is Andy Crestedina, and he's with Orbit Media in Chicago, and he is a prolific content developer. Andy, man, how are you doing?
I'm good, and I'm glad to be back. I can't believe how long it's been.
I know. You were on episode 101 back in 2015. It's been that long, but you know, I see you so many different places, you know, online and in webinars and things like that. It's almost like we talk all the time, but I couldn't believe it's been that long since you've been on.
I know. Wow.
So let's dig in. One of the things I love about what you do is I'm a big fan of your emails. You put together these very deep, rich research emails, and they're blog posts that talk about, you know, things that you've learned. And I figured I would pick your brain a little bit for my audience about some of the things that you discovered this year. So you did a survey of blog writers, right? And how many did you do? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we can talk about the survey itself as a marketing tactic, but the actual piece is 1,000 bloggers who answer, it's like, I think 15 or so questions. This year we added a few, and we've done this 6 years in a row. So now I have data about the big trends in blogging from 2014, 15, 16, up to this year, 2019, and it's fascinating. Like, you can see how much time people spend on each post and how that's changed. The length of a post, how that's changed. How people are promoting their content or what formats are working. So, it's an interesting piece. And I think it's fun to reference and see kind of where we all fit into the mix.
So what are the trends that you've seen between those years? I mean, has there been a big change or has there been pretty much consistency?
Well, the change is consistent. The increases in investment are consistent. It looks like what you might just consider to be just professionalizing of content marketing. I mean, a lot of blogging was sort of a personal hobby thing when it first started out. In 2014, we asked people how much time they spend writing a blog post, average all the answers of these 1,000 bloggers. It was 2 hours and 24 minutes. This year, it was 4 hours. People are spending 3 hours and 57 minutes on average on a piece of content. So just the investment goes up and the length, the output has gone up. So where it's like 50% higher than it was 5 years ago. People used to write 800 word posts on average. It's now north of 1,200 words.
Wow. And 1,200 words, even though it sounds like a lot, it's really not. I mean, I take my podcast, the monocast I do on Mondays, and I get it converted in Rev and turn it into a blog. So it's about 10 minutes. Actually, it's about 8 minutes of speaking. It usually ends up being about 1,500 words. So it's not a lot of content, really, when you sit down and think about it.
No, and if you're, so I'm kind of an SEO, so if you're writing for search, you're trying to make the best piece of content on the internet that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? I mean, basically what we're doing is tackling topics that require a lot of information and detailed answers and, you know, kind of more thorough, comprehensive stuff. So yeah, I think my average is 1,500 to 2,000 words. But I will say it should be driven by the topic. I wrote one not long ago about how to grant access to your Google Analytics. 800 words, I'm done. Like, that was not a big piece. There's not much to say about it. So, right. But yeah, a lot of the things that we talk about, especially like as B2B marketers, you kind of got to dig in and try to be the most comprehensive answer you could possibly be.
Right. And one of the things in this business, I think every business, you know, there is no one thing that works. You know, you hear people all the time. I get this call, you know, hey, somebody told me I need to do better SEO. And the question you have to ask is, really, do you need to do better SEO, or do you need to do more content marketing, or, you know, do you need more webinars? I mean, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with your audience and understanding who they are. So let's talk about that a little bit. You know, one of the things that you talk about is attracting audiences, you know, with this information that you have. You talked about headlines, and you've talked about, you know, interviews and getting people like we're doing today. And then also the long form stuff and why that's important and what it means. So let's kind of go down that road a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, talking to your audience the right way with the right headlines. Why is that so important?
The headline is the key to traffic. I mean, I think of it in like a little flowchart. So your audience is out there somewhere. They're in an inbox. They're in a search results page. They're in a social stream. And what are they doing? They are, and we say they are, but it's us too. We are all scanning through lists of headlines. And each one we see, we do a split-second cost-benefit calculation. Is the value I'll get from this article worth 3 seconds of my time? And when you've done that math in your head, and it really only took like less than 1 second, you decide whether or not to click. So the job of the headline is to manipulate that cost-benefit calculation going on in the mind of your visitor. And if the benefits aren't strong enough by being specific in the promise of the value, or the cost doesn't seem low enough, and you can use, you know, there's lots of ways to make it sound quick or easy or fast, or numbered lists, a number kind of makes it sound scannable, lower cost. That basically is the game. So the headline is the key to traffic. If you win that calculation in their mind, that cost-benefit calculation, then they click and you get a visitor. If not, they just scan and scroll and look at the next headline. So what we saw, Brian, you saw the research, you've seen that blogger survey showed that there's a tiny percentage, 1% of bloggers are writing 20 draft headlines before selecting one, which might sound crazy, but that is actually probably some of the highest value time you spend when you create content. The bloggers who did write 20 headlines before choosing one, and I know people like this, I'm not at that level, but I'm up there, they are extremely likely to report success in their marketing. So it's a huge correlation. It was one of the strongest correlations we found in the survey. Definitely worth the extra time to consider lots of headlines before choosing one.
So when they're going through that headline exercise, what are some of the things that you're finding that they're working on? What are they trying to accomplish with it? I mean, I understand the concept of going through 20, but, you know, I mean, it's like brain overload. What's the difference between them? What are they seeing that's better?
Well, that brain overload is also on a happier day called a brainstorm, hopefully. If you write a bunch of them, you're writing some weird ones and you're considering more possibilities. You're also pushing yourself to try to look for different words. You're more likely to find a word that is unexpected or comes at the visitor from a different angle. You're also probably paying close attention to where the headline would be used, which, by the way, is sort of maybe not obvious to the more junior content marketer, but there isn't really one headline anymore. You've got the title tag, you've got the article header, the H1, you've got an email subject line, you've got a social media post, you've got a video title. These aren't necessarily the same thing, so you can adapt that headline. So for example, an email subject line, right? Some of these headlines you write will be good for email subject lines. They don't use keywords, they don't have to, there's nothing to do with search. And they're front-loaded with the strongest benefits and most interesting words. Those words have to appear in the first, you know, 40 characters, or the mobile inbox will truncate. So you're going to write a lot and you might see, okay, that's going to work well there, that's going to work well there. The research on headlines shows that super long headlines are performing well, like 15-word headlines, which sounds crazy, but try to do it. Make sure you write at least a couple that are like 12, 15, 18 words. Those will get truncated for sure in the mobile inbox and will get truncated for sure in a Google search result if it's a title tag. But the H1, hopefully your CMS doesn't force you to truncate your H1. The H1 tag can have it. So that you've got like a lot of bites at the apple. You've got a stronger chance of winning that cost-benefit calculation, getting the visitor to engage with the content, scroll down the page, maybe share. So yeah, this is it's just more work is far, far greater rewards in this category. Not everything, but this one for sure.
Cool. And then the second thing we discussed up front was creating content that included other people, whether it's a something around the lines of an interview like this or guest blogging or interviewing clients or case studies or something like that. Let's kind of dig into that.
This is another one. Only 1% of bloggers include contributor quotes in every article, but those are the bloggers who are far more likely to report strong results from digital. Now, this might sound unusual unless you were a journalist. I mean, a journalist would never write an article without including a source. So all you're doing is adding that journalistic mentality when you create content and make sure that you put experts in your stuff. It's a missed opportunity to do networking, to upgrade the quality, to add a social influencer who will help share and promote. So many good things, make friends, reconnect, like we're doing now. There's so many good things happen when you include people in your content. I mean, it actually adds visual interest because if you put a face next to their name, you know, you've got keep the visitor flowing, right? You've added a visual, something of visual interest, a face at that scroll depth. So basically, bottom line, you consider making this an editorial rule. 2020, guys, foresight is 2020. In next year, challenge yourself to include it's free, it's fast, it's fun. Include a contributor quote from an expert or social influencer in every piece of content you create. Better yet, include a prospect, right? Use it for sales enablement. Use it for networking. Include someone from a cold lead if you're B2B in your content. It's like zero waste marketing. The creation process has value because it got you to reconnect with someone you wanted to talk to.
And the tools that we have at our fingertips right now, I mean, like Zoom, call recorders, you know, there's so many different ways to capture that and convert it into text. I mean, it's not that hard. You know, call somebody up and say, hey, I just want to ask you a quick question. I want to include it in my blog. What do you think about this? And just getting that quote, putting their name in, linking to them on whatever format, could be Facebook, LinkedIn, Snapchat, whatever you want. You know, but the bottom line is they love that because it's going to drive traffic to them. And there's an incentive for them to want to be a part of it. So it's totally a win-win. Makes great sense.
Yeah, and if you want to be included in other people's content, you want a PR hit, you want to be mentioned, you want to be linked to, you want to be shared, this is the season for it, right? Mm-hmm. Give whatever you want to get. You want mentions on other people's websites? Mention those people on your site. You want LinkedIn recs? Write recommendations for people on LinkedIn. You want to get comments, write comments. I think there's some weird like karmic thing that happens in content. It sounds great. Does that sound weird?
No, not at all. I'm on it 100%. As a matter of fact, I just did a blog post. I mean, it's kind of a sad story, but my dog passed away and the outreach from people on social media was just huge. And it ended up being the people that I engaged with before. You know, it wasn't just random. It was, you could tell it was people that I had either commented on, wished a happy birthday, something along that lines. You know, the engagement and the payback was huge. You know, it was just amazing. So yeah, no, it's not. It's the more you give, the more you get. I mean, Bob Berg in his book, The Go-Giver, talks about the law of reciprocity, meaning, you know, givers gain. The more you give, BNI says givers gain. I mean, that philosophy works so well in content and online marketing.
It absolutely does. If you're not successful, maybe you just haven't helped enough people yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea.
And that's great. I mean, and that's something, you know, especially this time of year, but also, Karen, you know, you mentioned before about going to the gym. I mean, how many people join a gym in January and never go again, you know, in February? And I think the thing that people have to do is don't have that gym mentality when it comes to giving. Don't just do it in Christmas season. Carry it all the way through till next December.
Yeah. And that's where some of the tools can help or process can help. If these things are important to, if they're critical success criteria for you, big factors in you know, your future outcomes, you can codify them into an editorial guideline that you always use. You know, this just becomes a checklist thing. So that checklist of like, oh, this article, my template has a space for me to write 12 headlines. Let me dig a little deeper and write those last four. Or my my editorial guideline here has a checkbox I check when I've got a contributor quote. Let me make sure to reach out to someone here. I've got an extra couple days. I'll just shoot a quick email to that old friend. Just make it a process. Make it a habit. That's what the gym problem is. How many times? There's like several books on this. You have to do something X number of times before it becomes a habit, and then it's like zero willpower. You just do it automatically. You don't even have to. It'd be hard not to do it.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what happened with me. I took up running again after 25 years, and boy, was it hard. But, you know, after a while, it's like, I need to run. It just became such a part of my life. So, you know, and it did. It lasted 2 years. I mean, I've been going strong. So
good for you. That's great. Awesome.
And that's exactly what it is. You have to, it's a mindset change, but it's also a habit change, you know, so that's huge. And I think that's an awesome point. So let's get into why is long form stuff better? Because I hear this all the time. Some people, you know, we know that, and I don't know if this is still the truth, but you know, it used to be that 300 words was the minimum Google would index. That may have changed. I don't know. So people would try to be short and sweet, but now, you know, it seems like long form stuff is becoming more of the, you know, the style of the day. Why is that? What's the core behind that?
Well, I don't think that there's a word count. I mean, if there was, I don't think it's around anymore. I don't really believe in counting words generally. Mm-hmm. I think what I try to do when I create content is to use short words, short sentences, and short paragraphs. But I never try to write a short article. I'm always just trying to make a detailed article, make an exhaustive article, make the best piece of content on that topic, whatever it might be. So if you think you're done writing it and you realize that you made a recommendation without an example, or that you kind of cited a trend without adding research, or it's all just sounds like one point of view and you need a contributor quote, or there's if you search for the topic in Google and Google gives you those people also ask questions, have you answered all of those in the article? So the job is to produce quality. Length correlates with quality. And then let's address briefly just the counterpoint, right? Why people say, well, no one has attention spans to read a long thing. The point is not to make something short because people tend not to read. The point is to make something detailed and scannable to get scan readers to engage with it. And there are visitors for whom you'll be solving a big problem, and they will invest the time. I mean, I have articles, not even, I could show you analytics. The average time on page is 10 minutes. That's a 4,000 word piece that tells you how to solve a big problem. You know, a lot of these are average time on page, 6 minutes. So don't tell me like people don't have an attention span. There's a great quote by Jerry Seinfeld. He said, there's no such thing as attention span. There's only the quality of what you are viewing. People have an infinite attention span if you're entertaining them. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Good point. And that's exactly it, is if you have quality content, people will do that. I've noticed that too. I mean, they're, you know, if you have great content, people will tend to spend more time not only on that, but probably go dig deeper into the website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're more likely to share it. You'll get better word of mouth. People are, I mean, the world, I also say this sometimes, and it's a fun way to kind of put a finer point on it. The world is not waiting for another medium quality blog post. It just doesn't need to be created. If it's just another thing that sounds like everything else, I mean, why even produce it? It's going to be so hard to promote it or get traction. So yeah, I mean, you're going to increase time on page. You're going to lower bounce rates. You're going to increase pages per visit, to your point, right? Good internal linking can guide mm-hmm. them deeper. And then even if you really want to 10x your competition and just make yourself indestructible, don't just write the 3,000 word thing. Make a 5-minute video that summarizes it and put that right there at the top.
Right. And then you've got content you can spread everywhere. I mean, and that's the other thing. I'm a huge, huge believer. Everything we do is an asset. We talked about that up front. You know, turn a blog into a series of blogs, turn it into an ebook, turn it into a real book, turn it into a training series. I mean, there's so many things that you can do. And I love that concept of, you know, the mediocre blog. But the problem becomes is people want to talk about themselves, you know, more than focus on what the client has to, you know, what their interest is. And I see that a lot in blogging. Here's what we do. Here's our stuff. You know, they're wee-wee-weeing all over themselves as opposed to, you know, really focusing on the end user. And some people are afraid to give away the baby with the bathwater. Hey, if I tell them my secrets, they don't need me. No, that's not true. Because 95% of the people will read it and go, that makes sense. I'm going to do it myself. Wait, I can't do it myself. I need this person or I need this company to help me. You know, that's usually the way it works out, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you're afraid to write it because you're giving your secrets away, and I'm afraid to write it because I'm giving my secrets away, or because, you know, you'll see what I write. Now you're afraid I'll see what you're writing. Someone else is going to go write it anyway. Right. It's already out there anyway. It's a ridiculous notion to think that you can keep your secrets now. Some people are teaching for free every day a lot of the best stuff that you already know. So the job is really just to be the most generous brand and generous marketer. Whoever gives away the most information, your exact point, right, Bob Berg, whoever gives away the most information is going to get back the largest audience. Some of the metrics are tough because it's going to be word of mouth. You know, people are just going to say, yeah, don't do that without talking to Brian. What are you, crazy?
Right.
And you're not going to see that in your analytics, but they're going to say that because they've read over 2 years, 30,000 words, and they've listened to 18 hours of audio, and they just know that you know. That's how do you become the guy? How do you become top of mind if you're trying to keep secrets? That's like it's an impossibility.
Right. And you hit the magic bullet. I've noticed this. I give speeches all the time. It could be, you know, on a national stage. It could be in a webinar. It could be at a chamber of commerce. The magic time it takes, usually from a time somebody says, hey, I've seen you, to the time they actually take action, generally is around 2 years. It's amazing how consistent that is.
You know, and that's why it's... I feel bad for marketers that need to demonstrate ROI every day to an executive. A lot of these things are a little like a leap of faith. The benefits are durable, but slow to build. Links for search, subscribers for email, followers for social, word of mouth for presenters. So it is a long game, but the brands that do it, it is breathtaking how much demand these people create after putting themselves out there and giving away their best advice for years. I've done analytics for some famous speakers and marketers and authors that you and I both know. The amount of direct traffic to their websites is huge because people just type it in. They go there. It's top of mind. They believe they're going to find a good answer, or someone was told to go there. That's direct traffic. So yeah, it's I believe in that 2 year thing. So I come back from an event and people say, you know, hey, did you meet anyone who needs our help? It's like,
right.
Yes, but you're not going to hear them for a couple of years. It's going to take some time. It's a very long tail.
But it works, and that's the key thing. And I've got 527 episodes of content that prove that works. So
that's amazing. That is a beautiful statistic. That is an incredible act of persistence. That shows you're doing so many things so well. Hats off to you. I hope you're celebrating here a bit at the end of the year for that kind of milestone. Brian, well done.
Always. And that's the key thing. One of the things that I'm a preacher of is consistency. You have to be consistent. It doesn't mean that the podcast from day one to where it's at today is exactly the same. It's evolved. But the core of what it is, you and me sitting at Starbucks, even though we're not, having a conversation about what's cool on the internet is the whole basis behind this. So I've got two final questions for you before I let you go. And that is, what's the one thing from the last year that we need to stop doing and get rid of? And what is the one thing that's coming up that we need to do more of?
Well, the thing to stop, I think, this is the time of year to audit your phone for notifications and apps. I think we should take a minute to clean out our phones, remove some of the visual noise from the home screen, and to turn off some of those notifications and to remove some of those apps that are just taking your time and you know, try to make your phone a little bit boring. It'll make you more productive. So definitely let's clean up that device in your pocket. You're gonna have a better year that way. Things to start doing. Wow, there are a lot of great answers to that question. I think setting aside time for reading, I've recently read Measure What Matters, awesome book. Deep Work, awesome book. Challenger Sale, awesome book. As far as the ROI goes, there are people who have combined like decades of experience into one format of content that you can get for like $12. It's just in the time, budget, time to read. I think that you're going to have a way better 2020 if you do that. So stay away from shallow work and your phone. Budget time for deep content and a book.
And I'm with you there 110%, but I'm an audiobook guy. So I listen in my office, I listen in my car, I listen when I'm walking. So yeah, you know.
Yep. When I don't even qualify it anymore, but when I say read, I almost mean listen. Two-thirds of the books I get through are audio format for sure.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Hey, Andy, once again, just great, great, great stuff. You dropped some incredible sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps. If people want to follow you, which, by the way, if you are not on Andy's email list, get there. How do they do that?
I appreciate that. It's only every other week. So I'm not going to send you any more email than that. You can get it at orbitmedia.com/blog. And so as you can tell from this conversation, I'm putting out my best. And if the day you get bored with it, unsubscribe. That's all you got to do. And then probably as far as networks go, LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn, connect with me, ask me anything. I'm the same as Brian. I'm super active there.
Well, Andy, thanks again, man. It is a pleasure talking to you. I guarantee you it will not be another 4 years before I have you back on. So thanks, dude.
Anytime. Happy 2020.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.